What is priority? Well, if we were to ask Jesus, what is the number one priority in your life, or what should be in our life? And he says what? To love God with everything that is in you. He didn't say even going out and taking care of the poor. He didn't say feeding the widows and the orphans. He didn't say any of that, because he knew that, hey, if we put God first, we will want to do those things. We will seek to do those things. And so what Jesus made it very clear is that worship was the priority. It was number one. And so worship should become priority in our lives, and not just on Sunday morning, not just for an hour as we gather corporately, but as we live our life, that we're to love God with everything that is in us. And not to have any other gods before us, but to make sure that he is priority. He's number one. It's not our hobby. It's not our sport. It's not our awards. It's not our career. It's not anything else. Not our family. It's not our moms. It's not our dads. It's not our kids. But that he is first and foremost. There's a statement here that says, worship is celebration. A celebration to be experienced and a celebration to be shared. A worship is a celebration to be experienced. In other words, it's a worship experience. You know, one of the things we try to do, and we talked about this last week, is we try to create an environment that is conducive to worship, where people are able to focus on who God is. And we talk about how we put together the services, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. But the thing is we want to exalt the Lord. We want to exalt the name of Jesus. The Bible says that if we lift up the name of Christ, that there will be people that will come unto him. They'll hear the gospel. They will hear the good news. And lives will be changed as we exalt the name of Christ. And so it is our priority as a church to make sure that we worship in truth and in spirit, and that we seek to bring attention to who he is and what he has done. And here's the thing. The object of worship, we covered this last week, is the one true and living God. He is the center of our affections. In Exodus 20, verse 3, the very first of the Ten Commandments, you must not have any other God but me. In other words, it's not to have idols. It's not to have things that are more important than God. This past week, we had our men's chili cook-off. And let me just tell you, the men in our church, unless they got the wives to cook it, can cook some chili. Every entry that was entered was really good. And I think every guy there tried a little bit of every recipe. And I'm talking about it was good. And so we had a great fellowship, of just hanging out, eating chili, and then we had a guy share his testimony. And one of the things that Billy Davis, he shared his testimony. He was talking about how we are to love God more than we love our family. He said we're to love God so much and to such an intense level that it's almost like we hate our family. That's what Jesus taught. And his challenge was to us as men to step up and to lead. And one of the ways that we should lead as men is to love God with everything that is in us. To love him more than anything, more than our hobby, more than our favorite team, more than anything else, even more than our family, is to love God with everything that's in us. Become that kingdom man that when other people see you, they know who is first in your life. And other people want what you have because they see the intensity and the passion that is in you and what drives you to be all that you are, to be that man that God wants you to be. And so it was a powerful time of testimony to hear, a man talk about loving God so much that you love him more than you love your family, to the point that it almost looks like you hate your family. And so that is putting God at a very high priority. And so therefore, God is the object of our worship. And there's two, we talked about this last week, the different types of worship. Number one, there's personal worship where we have our own personal time of worship. And for you, that might be the best place for you, maybe on the back porch with a cup of coffee and the Word of God. And wherever it might be, but that personal worship is where it's just you and God in his word and in prayer. It's your devotional time. It's your quiet time. It may be driving down the road and cranking it up on the radio and jamming out to K-Love. And for you, that is worship. So there may be those moments where you have that personal time of worship. And so whenever it's just you and God, maybe it's out in the woods, maybe it's on the beach, wherever it might be, or maybe it's just on your knees beside your bed in prayer. As you get on your knees, that is such an intense personal time of worship. And like I said, we've taught, we've been taught to literally enter into God's presence with thanksgiving. That we begin our prayers with thanking him, which we talked about last week is a form of what? It's a form of worship. And so as we begin our time of prayer, it's not we come with our list and our needs, but we come with thanksgiving and praise, thanking him for who he is, praising him for who he is, thanking him for what he's already done. And then as we enter into that time of just going before the Lord and just loving on Him, we're moved to share our heart with Him, which He already knows. But it's our opportunity to bring those petitions before Him. And so personal worship is a powerful time. And it should move us. It should motivate us to literally to be not so personal with it, but to be public with it. And that's what we do here when we gather here. It's our corporate worship. I want to ask Matt to come out and join me. Matt is our worship leader here at Journey. So I wanted to ask Matt a few questions today about corporate worship. Matt puts together. Have a seat, Matt. Matt does a great job leading our worship. And, we talked a little bit this week. And I want you to tell us, Matt, a couple things we talked about is tell us a little bit about what goes into a service like today, a corporate gathering, a corporate worship. What goes into that from your standpoint and maybe even from the praise team standpoint?
Well, the first thing that we do is we want to make sure I sit down in the office and I want to make sure that the music, what the lyrics are saying is what we believe.
That's right.
Here at Journey, because there's a lot of really good songs that just don't have anything to it.
That's right.
And we don't need it to be a spiritual steak, so to speak. But we want to make sure that it's in line with what we believe. That's the first thing. And then after that, we want to make sure that the music is culturally relevant, not because we want to be cool,
right,
but it's because we want to make sure that we're identifying with the people who are coming.
Right.
And that's a big deal, because it's not about what I like, not about what kind of music I like, or you like, or whoever, but we want to make sure that we are speaking to the people God is bringing through the doors.
That's good.
And that's kind of what the picture looks like, and then from there we put it together and make it work. We got a great team. They're flexible and willing to work at it. So
all right. So whenever you guys are and Matt and I, we talk about, and as a team, as a staff, we talk about, hey, this is going to be the focus for this week. Every Tuesday, we talk about the prayer request that you guys turn in. And so every Tuesday we do staff meeting at 8:15, and we begin that meeting with, number one, we talk about the prayer request. And we'll go over the prayer request, and we share any other prayer requests that may have came in. And then we pray. That's our first thing, is we pray. Then we talk about the wins and the follow-ups. The wins, the things that we felt like were a hit, the things that made a connection, the things that help us fulfill the mission that God has given us. And then we talk about the things that we can improve upon, our follow-ups. And then we move around with info sharing, and we talk about the service. How do we, do the best that we can do? How do we bring excellence every Sunday when we put together these worship services? And so one of the things that Matt and I talk about is the focus of the week. And, I talk about, hey, this is where I think I'm going. And God can always change that. But we try to talk about that. And so we try to plan songs and pick songs and work on songs that lyrically drive home the truth that we're trying to walk out of here with that day. And you can call it multiple reinforcements or whatever. But the thing is we want you guys to understand that, there's a lot that goes into a corporate worship. What is funny is whenever some of you guys become a part of the production team, or you're backstage and you go, I had no idea all that goes on and all that goes into the planning and the details of it. And that's okay. You don't have to. But the thing is we have to make sure that we're bringing our very best. And so that comes back to preparing all through the week. I believe the Holy Spirit is not only working in this service, but He's working throughout the week as we prepare our hearts and our minds and as we choose and select songs. All right, so one of the other things I wanted to ask you, because a lot of times I think for many of us sitting out here in the congregation, what could you say to our congregation that may help you guys take worship to the next level here at Journey Church?
Yeah, it's simple. We talked about this week, and to me, it's you hear this all the time, whether you're doing sports or whatever. Just take it back to the basics. Just get alone, be in the moment with you and God, and forget about, I like this song, or I don't like the song, or the person next to me, they're clapping off rhythm. Because they probably are, to be honest with you. I'm just joking. Well, kind of. It's a paradigm shift. When you realize that it's not about what we, because when I was in high school, my thing was, worship was cool. I got a lot out of worship. Well, the fact is, it's not about what we can get out of worship. Now, that's a common thing. I think that's the natural human tendency.
That's right.
But when you realize that this is an act, a corporate public act and proclamation of what God has done for us, even though we're all broken, just being in the moment and giving glory and showing worth to God, that's when the Holy Spirit is ushered in.
I love what Matt just said, and hear what he said, because too often we go, it's about what I get out of worship. And I think sometimes we think that's what worship's about. Will worship change us? Absolutely. But it's what we give. Think about that. It's what we give in worship that changes us. It's what we give back to God. It's what we lay before Him as a sacrifice of praise. It's not what we get out of it. It's what we give. Now, do we get something in return? Absolutely. But it's how much and how we give that determines what we get out of it. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's really the biggest thing. And I always overcomplicated it. It was like, maybe I'm not doing this right or I'm not doing that right. Well, the fact is, the Bible says if you have a problem with your brother, go to him before you go to the altar. That's all you got to do. If you're good there, all you got to do is thank God for what He's done and realize that we're not going to be good enough. See, we don't have to worry about that. That is a weight off of our shoulders. So God's not saying, oh, yeah, but once He gets this figured out, He'll be good. He's saying, no, you're good right now. Give me what you have now. And once you get to that place, there's freedom there, really.
Amen. You guys give Matt a hand and let him know how much you appreciate him leading our worship. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Matt does a great job of things that I don't even understand. You know, I talk about watching these guys play these instruments, and they've got gifts. And obviously they've honed those skills and they've worked. But to use those for the glory of God, they could be used in other places, but they choose to use those to bring glory and honor to God. You know, so personal worship is important. Corporate worship is vital. And here, I read an article this past week where the guy said, worship is the gospel in motion. He said, worship is the gospel in motion. He was telling a story of where he was, he was a teenager, and he was, he'd kind of grown up kind of going to church, but it really didn't do anything for him. He said, man, I was there just because my parents wanted me there. He said, but I was at an event where all these young people, all these teenagers, all these people were worshiping passionately. He said, and they were singing these a cappella songs. This was way back like in the 70s and 80s. And he said, they were singing these a cappella songs. He said, and they just kept singing them over and over and over. He said, man, I was thinking, you know, when is this going to be over? He said, and all of a sudden, I had this experience. He said, and I sensed the presence of God. He said, I was broken over who I was and the sin that I was involved in. He said, and I was moved to the point of salvation that night. And so for him, he said, you know what? He said, to me, he said, it was the gospel in motion as I watched people worship. And so worship is powerful. We talked about this last week, true worship. And like Matt said, it's not just kind of going through the motions, but it's just engaging in that moment. And Jesus talked about this with the woman at the well. And we're not going to rehash this whole thing, but it says, Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, and indeed is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. And for God is spirit, so those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We talked about this last week, that for those of us that have put our faith in Jesus Christ, who is the way of salvation, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, is what Scripture teaches. And so therefore, because we have the Spirit of the living God within us, we begin to understand how to worship. There are the things of God seem like foolishness to the common man, to the person who does not have the Spirit of God living within you. You don't understand worship, and you can't fully worship the way that Jesus is talking about, not in truth and in spirit, because you don't have the Spirit of the living God within you to lead you, to guide you, and to show you how to worship Him. And so the thing is we have to have the Spirit of the living God. And again, it says the Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. And then here's what I want us to focus on today, the power of worship. The power of worship. The thing about worship, it is powerful. It is a proclamation. It is life-changing. I just told you a story about a young man who, just being in the midst of worship, moved him, changed him, and brought him to repentance. And so there's two forms of it. The celebration is the vertical dimension. We have the vertical dimension of worship, where we are worshiping Him. And like I said, and like Matt and I were talking about, it's not what we get out of worship, it's what we give. It's what we give. And so whenever we come in here, we should come with a mindset of, you know, what do I get to give to God today? I want to give Him everything I've got. Jesus said that was the most important commandment, to love Him with everything that is in me. And we could almost say, what is the great definition of worship? We would say the great commandment. We'd say what Jesus said. It's to love God with everything that's in me. Not just part of me. Not just 75% of me. But with everything that is in me, I will worship Him. I'll give Him praise. I'll literally worship Him to the point that I am changed because of His presence in my life. And so the thing is worship should be something that is powerful. Being in the very presence of God is powerful. People literally would get on their faces. They would bow down and they would say, man, I'm going to die. I've seen the presence of God. I've been in the presence of God. We take that for granted sometimes. And what we should have this mentality is, what do I get to give? That we get this mentality as we come through the doors. You know, what do I get to give today as thanks and as praise and as an offering of praise to my Lord? And then it's the proclamation, the horizontal dimension. We come in here with a mentality of celebrating who God is, celebrating what He's done, celebrating Him for who He is. And then it's a proclamation as we get to proclaim to those who come and those who are within earshot, hey, listen to what kind of God we serve. Listen to who He is. Listen to how powerful He is. And listen to what He's done in my life. We're all broken vessels. But you know, He will redeem you. He will change you. He will save you. And it goes back to what that guy said. It is the gospel in motion. And so it is a proclamation. It is proclaiming the good news as we worship. Look at this passage here out of Psalms. It says, He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what He has done and be amazed, and they will put their trust in the Lord. Every songwriter ought to have that mentality. Every songwriter ought to have that mentality. That ought to be their life verse right there. That God, give me a song that people will hear it. They'll see other people singing the song. They'll see them worshiping You, and they will put their trust in You. They will come to know You for salvation in that moment, in that song. God, let that be my life verse as a songwriter. That ought to be our mentality. God, I want people to be changed because of worship, because people get to see and hear more and more about who You are. The truth of God's Word being proclaimed. We're going to talk more about this next week. But the teaching of God's Word, the proclamation of God's Word is vital. Look at this passage here out of 1 Corinthians. Paul is having to address a lot of things here at the church at Corinth. They were a pretty corrupt area. And so here's the thing. They were beginning to drift off. They were losing some focus. And he has to address order in worship, that there should be focus. There should be order in worship. And so he's addressing all that. But look at what he says here. He says, even so, and he's talking about speaking in tongues. He says, even so, if unbelievers are people who don't understand these things come into your church meeting and hear everyone speaking in an unknown language, they will think you're crazy. He says, but if all of you are prophesying, prophesying, and unbelievers are people who don't understand these things come into your meeting, they will be convicted of sin and judged by what you say. As they listen, their secret thoughts will be exposed. And they will fall to their knees and worship God, declaring, God is truly here among you. Understand what Paul is saying there. Paul is saying, hey, listen, man, when people come in, unbelievers walk into your services, you know, they're going to be a part of your worship. And then when the proclamation of God's Word, whenever the prophesying or the preaching or the teaching of God's Word takes place, they're going to hear God's Word and they're going to be moved and they're going to be grieved in their spirit. And they're going to realize, you know what, these thoughts that I have, they are sinful. They're wrong. They do not honor God. And they're all about me, and they're going to literally be broken. So here's the thing. Whenever people come and they are a part of our worship services and they hear the good news, they hear the gospel, it says that they will literally be brought to God. And so in our services, there is power for change. In our worship services, our worship gatherings, there is a moment, there's opportunities for people's lives to be changed and their souls to be saved. This next passage here, talk about worship changing things. This is an Old Testament story. And this is where we see where victory can take place. And what's happening here is King Jehoshaphat is about to go to war, and he's gone to the Lord, and he's asked God, you know, for protection and guidance and all these things. And let's pick up here in verse 15. He said, God speaks to him. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. See, too often we think that the battles that we're facing are all ours. But there are some battles that it's the Lord's battle. And we've got to be willing to trust Him and let Him fight the battles. Tomorrow we march out against them. And you will find them coming through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. And then King Jehoshaphat bowed down and low and his face to the ground. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. And early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all of you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang: "Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever." And at that very moment, they began to sing and give praise. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves, and they were given victory. You might say, that's a miracle. It was obedience. It was obedience, and obedience leads to miracles. Obedience. They were obedient to do what the Lord had said. And here's the thing. Their worship brought them victory. And there are many of us that we cower in fear, and we're afraid of what may be coming against us. We're afraid of the battles that we're facing. But the Bible teaches us here, say, listen, don't cower in fear, but praise and worship the God who can conquer anything that we face. And whenever we literally worship in truth and in spirit, it shows us, you know what, that God can give us victory. We don't even have to fight. We just have to be obedient. And so it goes back to the power of worship. The power of worship can change you. It can change me. It can change us. And here's the thing. There's not a person in this room that doesn't need to be changed into the image of Christ more and more each day. Every one of us need to be changed. And there are victories that we need. There are some of you in here that you are literally losing a battle every day. And maybe it's to an addiction. And maybe it's to a bad attitude. Maybe it's to a besetting sin that is in your life that just seems to dominate you, that controls you. And you'll confess it, and you feel like, man, I have repented. And then the next day, you're right back in that same sin. And it's a sin, it's a stronghold that needs to be torn down. And for many of you, the only way it's going to be torn down is through prayer and fasting, or maybe worship. True worship. That you begin to find victory in that area of your life. Your marriage is on the rocks. You've got all these things going on. Maybe you got a child that's a wayward child. And you keep saying, you know, God, maybe it's, you know what, God, I'm going to worship you. A friend of mine wrote a song one time. He was frustrated. His ministry was falling apart, it seemed like. Nobody was calling him and asking him to come sing and lead worship at their churches. And he was a music evangelist. And he said, man, he was frustrated with his wife. They were in there arguing. They were talking about bills that needed to be paid. And they didn't have money. And he said he went down and he sat down at his keyboard and he said, began to play. And he said, because for years that was his release or his escape, was just to get on the keyboard and just play. He said God began to just kind of nudge in his heart to worship him. And he was like, man, I don't want to worship right now. And he said all of a sudden he sensed the Holy Spirit just tell him, said, worship him anyway. He said, man, he said, I didn't want to worship. He said it was kind of begrudgingly. He said, but the more that I worshiped, the more that he began to soften my heart. And more, he said, that I began to just pray, God, teach me to worship you in the midst of storms, in the midst of battles, whatever it might be. So, God, forgive me. And he began to worship. He said, the more that he worshiped, he said, the more he began to sense peace. And he said, the more he began to sense, you know what, God has got this and God is going to give me victory. He said, in that day, that night, he began to get phone calls and people said, hey, listen, we want you to come play for us on such and such date. And he said, the more that he realized, you know what, that moment in there where he just said, God told him just to worship him anyway. The Spirit led him to worship him anyway. The more that he worshiped, it seemed like the more that people called. There's power in worship. Worship can change us. I want you to watch a video. This is a family in our church that has got a powerful testimony of how worship can change you. Check out this video.
My name is Wendy Tudela, and I'm going to tell you my favorite transformation story ever, and it's all about my son, Devin. Devin was diagnosed with moderate autism at 5 years old, and He was the sweetest little boy. He was the most frustrating little boy at the same time. It was very difficult. That same year was the year that I came to Christ, and I really wanted to instill good Christian values into my children. I wanted them to know and love Jesus as much as I did. And that was extremely difficult for a child who couldn't understand. Devin had a comprehension at 5. It was love close to a 1-year-old, if that. He spoke only in echolalia for the longest time, which is repeating things or delayed repeating things. And so he would say, "Devin, what do you want for a snack?" And he would say a movie quote. And it was like, how do you teach the Bible to a child who can't comprehend the smallest thing? So I prayed about it, and it was one day, and it was in church. And a man named Steele was the drummer of the Discovery Church in California, where we were stationed many years ago. And Devin just lit up. He lit up so much. There was just this glow about him. He was so mesmerized by it. And that's when it hit me. That is how I'm going to teach him. That is how it's going to happen. So Christian music was all over our house. It was in our car. It was everywhere we were going. Everything that we did, it was playing in the background. Good quality, hearty Christian music. Chris Tomlin, Hillsong, Casting Crowns. Those songs come straight from Scripture. And that is how Devin memorized a lot of Scripture. He was changing. He was transformed because of worship music. He was able to sit still in church and really grasp and comprehend what was going on, what people were saying. And then, you know, he's coming up to me and he's asking me questions about Jesus and the songs that he's heard. And then I get to talk to him. You know, it was around age 10 that he got baptized. And it wasn't not too far long after that that Devin tested out of speech therapy, and then eventually he tested out of special education, and at a point in time, he was supposed to be going 80% of the school year, and then it was no longer at all. He plays multiple instruments. Devin is leaps and bounds from where he was when he was diagnosed. I bet most of you are thinking, I would have never have guessed this. You know why? Because God has done beautiful things in my son's life. He was able to give him this amazing talent. And not only does Devin love worship music, and that's how he learned about God, and that's how he got to understand about God, but now he also plays it. He's multi-talented. He plays the keyboard and the ukulele and the guitar, and you see him every Sunday morning playing in this box, you know, just beating those drums for the Lord. And I don't know where we would be without worship music. I don't want to imagine Devin's life without worship.
Man, is that not a powerful story? Woo! That's one of those just powerful miracle stories. How worship can change somebody. You know, Devin and Wendy and those guys, they're on vacation, or they're going to see family this weekend. I was thinking, how cool if we would have ended that video and he'd been doing a drum solo over here, just tearing it up. But he plays nearly every Sunday, and he plays for the Lord, and he's just got a great heart, man. Just seeing a life that's been changed by worship. And so here's, I just want you to understand there's power in worship, and I don't want you guys, any of us, missing out on what God wants to do in us. And I think too often, you know, we limit our worship because we're afraid of what others around us may think. And like I said, when the Bible talks about lifting holy hands unto the Lord and making sure that, you know what, that He receives glory and that He is the focus. And we're not doing it to draw attention to ourselves. We're doing it to draw attention to Him. We're doing it to point towards Him, to celebrate who He is. And you know, and I would love to see our church worship Him in truth and in spirit every week. And here's the thing, with great passion and great intensity, because He is number one on every person's list in this room. And so when we come together, there is power in that. There is intensity in that. There is passion in that. And I'll just tell you this. There's people in this world, they're looking for something like that to believe in. And when we as a church believe like that and we worship like that, it is impactful to the people who come and just experience that. And here's the thing. It's impactful to us. We come together for worship for what we give, but we will walk out of here changed. I want to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes and just ask yourself, number one, God, have I given you everything? God, are you in first place? God, are you on the top of the list in my life? Are you on the throne of my life? God, just show me where I stand. Show me where I stand with you. And so maybe for the first time, maybe you're here and you realize, you know what, man, I need to accept Christ as Savior. I need to accept Jesus Christ. I've never been saved. I don't have the Spirit of God living within me. And so maybe for you, that is the decision you need to make. You right where you're at, you just say, God, with all the faith that I have, I want to give you my life. I want to be changed. I want to be saved. I want to be transformed. I want to become new. And so if you're here and you've never accepted Christ, let me invite you to do that. That's where it all begins. You know, that's where it all starts. That's what Jesus was talking about with the woman at the well. You know what? You need the Spirit of the living God living within you to be able to truly worship in truth and in spirit. And so if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, it's a simple thing, but it's a profound thing. And it's a powerful thing. And it changes all of eternity for you. And so with all the faith that you have, childlike faith, that you literally put your faith in who Jesus is. You say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you went to the cross and that you died for me. And Jesus, I believe that you can save me. So Jesus, I'm asking you, with everything that's in me, with all of my heart, come into my life, save me, change me, transform me, teach me, equip me, prepare me for what you want to do through me. I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you everything. Then you can worship in truth and in spirit. If that is your prayer today, we want to know. We want to walk with you. We want to help equip you and prepare you for the works of ministry that God wants to do through you. And so if that is your prayer, and I just want to ask you, if that was your prayer, just raise your hand. Nobody's looking around. Everybody's heads down, eyes closed. Anybody, if that was your prayer, Mike, I want to pray to receive Christ. All right, anybody else? I'll see your hand. Mike, that was my prayer. I want to ask Christ to come into my life. Anybody else? Anybody else? Brother, if you meant that with all of your heart, you will be saved. And for the rest of us, how cool to know that this guy has raised his hand, is now able to worship in truth and in spirit. He's able to worship in truth and in spirit because he's been filled with the Spirit of the living God. And if we, by faith, make that decision, we are changed forever. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not to be erased, because Jesus wrote it with his very own blood. And so we have the incredible privilege of worshiping him and thanking him for all that he has done. And so this morning we have the opportunity to worship him and thank him for saving this brother right here. So I want to ask everybody to stand. The worship team is going to lead us. You guys can open up your eyes. I want to ask you to stand. And I want you to literally worship in truth and in spirit. You've been given that privilege. Don't take it for granted. And we have the opportunity to bring and to give and to bring our very best before the Lord. And so the worship team is going to lead us through a few songs in worship. And I just want to encourage you not to focus on what's in this room, but to focus on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and to worship him in truth and in spirit. And let him have your very best. Don't give him the leftovers. Don't give him what you're just okay with. Give him everything. And worship him and celebrate the fact that a soul has been saved. That he is still at work. That he is still drawing men unto him. He's not done with us. He wants to use us all the more. Matt, lead us.